Gracious Heavenly Father, we pray that you would open this word to our hearts and minds, and we pray that you would speak to us and give us understanding. In your name we pray. Amen. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does remain forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak the things which I have seen with my father, therefore you also do the things which you heard from your father. There's a little verse in here that I want to use to be the board from which we spring into this sermon. In verse 37, he says, I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. That's the question I'd like us all to ponder. Does God's word have a place in us? Because if it doesn't, look at what the repercussions are when God's word has no place in you. You can be very religious. You can be someone who knows the law very well, which means you can have this mental understanding of what the scripture says, but it's not inside of you. It has no place in you. That's what he was speaking to. He's talking about, or talking rather to, Pharisees and Sadducees, teachers of the law. But there's a very big difference in being highly religious and letting God's word absolutely affect you and change you. You see, it's one thing to know the word, at least in the sense of knowing what it says. But the Bible is very clear that we are not called to merely be hearers of the word, but to be doers of the word. Amen. And that is the big difference between a religious person and a non-religious person. Someone who walks out the word is going to walk it out the way that it is written. It is written that we would fulfill it in love. That's what all of the word is written to get us to do. Remember when Jesus was asked, teacher, what is the greatest commandment? He said, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And what is the second? It is like it. To love your neighbor as yourself. He says all the laws and the commandments hinge on these two things. All the laws and the commandments hinge on those two things, which means that if we are reading the word and we are applying the word, but it is not in love for our fellow man or love for our God, then we are misapplying and misunderstanding the word of God. The word of God is not to be a club that we use against one another. It's not to be something that we do harm with. It is meant to help us to love God and love one another. You may be saying, well, what about whenever you preach a sermon that steps on toes or that offends? What happens when people leave the church because they don't like what you say? Well, again, the word of God, if it is shared, taught, preached with the motivation of love, then what is intended is that even when the word of God corrects and rebukes and trains us in righteousness, even when it points out things in all of our lives that is hard to hear, when God corrects, he always does it out of love.
Amen.
And the How do we know? Because God wants us to walk with him in the light. God knows what sin brings about. How many of you have, you don't have to raise a hand. How many of you have wandered off into sin for seasons of your life? You know what that's like? Have you wandered off into drinking for a season of your life, or drugs or sexual sins, or maybe you were extremely into gossiping, judging, slandering. Maybe you had a period in your life where you had a lot of hate and unforgiveness towards someone. Maybe there was a time in your life that you were stealing, cheating through school or in life. Sin affects all of us. It can grab a hold of any one of us, and everybody in the room has struggled with sin of some kind. If you sit here right now, think, well, he doesn't know me very well. I don't have any. You have a sin of pride. So I'm helping you here. Pride blinds us to where we think we have no sin. We think we are righteous. We think we are better than everybody else, more righteous than everyone else. That's a sin of pride. And generally, it goes with self-righteousness. Self-righteous pride walks hand in hand. And it can cause us to become a very ugly kind of person who claims the name of Christ, but we do much harm with our self-righteous pride. Because then we walk about the earth just judging and condemning all of the time. And I ask you this, where is love when that's all we do? God's word corrects and rebukes and trains us in righteousness. But he tells us that if we're going to help another person with the splint in their eye, we should look at the log in our eye first. The log in our own eye. We should examine our own hearts, our own selves, and make sure that when we go to a brother to help them out of sin, which is what Scripture tells us to do, that we don't go to them with a haughty, arrogant attitude, that we don't go to them judgmental and condemning all the time, but we go to them gently. The Bible says that we should gently rebuke. This is God's message for us. He wants to know, does my word have a place in you? I started off this way because I'm asking you the question, does his word really have a place in you? Does it have a place and a platform where you are living out and walking out what the word says, where you're walking out what the intention of the word is? The letter of the law kills, but the spirit brings life. If all we have is the letter of the law, we are out doing more harm than good many times. But when the Spirit of God is working with the law, there is life and there is freedom. To go back up to the beginning in verse 31, Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed in him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Remember this when we hear these words. The teachers of the law that Jesus was correcting had the law, but they were not free. Jesus is talking to Jews who have believed in him at this point, and he's saying that if you continue in my word, that is, if you continue to be doers and practicers of what my word says, and not just practices or a verse here or a specific area here, things that you really like, things that you want to shove down other people's throats, but no, if you're truly a practicer of the entire word, that means that the verses where it talks about loving your enemies, praying for those who persecute you, being kind, being gentle, showing respect, honoring one another above yourselves, being a servant. You see, we can't leave all of those out because we want to throw stones at somebody who's practicing one of our pet sins, a sin that we particularly like to call out. Maybe you hate or despise a certain sin, and so everybody who practices that, boy, you just have a great time picking up stones and throwing them. But guys, God is calling us to obey the whole word, not just to pick out a piece here and there that we like and say, well, the Bible says. Well, then we've got to listen to what the whole Bible says. Because yes, it points out sin, and yes, we should all repent and turn from whatever Scripture calls sin, but that includes self-righteous pride, arrogance. That includes a haughty spirit. It includes being hateful and ugly. It includes all those as well as whatever sin that you like to point out and throw stones at. Guys, the question is asked, does God's Word have a place in you? Having a place in you. Does it have prominence in your life? Are you submitted to it? Are you surrendered to His Word? Because if you are, then you will be one who desires to obey His Word and keeps His Word. And you'll do it by the Spirit of God and not by a religious spirit, not because you're trying to look good in front of others, not because you're trying to keep up appearances, but because of your love for God. When we love God, truly love God, you can't possibly not love other people. Even 1 John tells us that if we say that we don't love another human, then we cannot say we love God.
Yeah.
Because he says, if you truly love me, you will love those made in my image. No matter what they do, how they act, no matter their failures, no matter their mistakes, their sins, their struggles, no matter how they treat you, how they treat me, God calls us to love them. Guys, this is where freedom lies. Freedom lies in living out the Word of God, keeping it as He says. If you continue in my Word, and we do it by His love. That's where freedom lies. My heart is so burdened over the way the enemy can enslave and trap and entangle people. I've watched it for many years. I know the tactic because I see him laying the snares and the traps for me, just like you, for my household, just like your household. He doesn't go easy on any of us, but we're called to keep His Word in our hearts and upon our minds, because it is like a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It allows us to see the snares, the traps, the pitfalls that are before us, so we don't fall to those things. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, if you want to turn with me there. Paul is speaking about this very subject. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. Paul says to the Corinthians, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. A lot of your translations are going to say for the demolishing of strongholds, something like that. For the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking captive every thought to the obedience of Christ. What are these destructive fortresses that Paul says we have weapons of warfare with divine power to destroy or bring about destruction? These fortresses are mindsets. They are strongholds. They are mindsets, which means we have agreed with something. Now, these fortresses that Paul is speaking specifically about in 2 Corinthians, they are fortresses of the enemy. That they are mindsets, agreements with things that are not true. That's how these strongholds get established in us. When we make agreements with things that don't line up with the Word of God, where the Word of God does not have a place in us, so we've left ourselves vulnerable to agree with something that is not true. You see, that's what he's talking about there. We have weapons that are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations. That is where our minds wander and we make up things. We think, well, this sounds right, that sounds right. You know, if I put this together, it makes sense, this makes sense. We're speculating. It's not based on truth. And what gets very dangerous is when we speculate and then we declare speculation to be true. That's what's happened with Darwin's theory of evolution. It's always been called a theory, but it has moved to the place of fact, though it's never really left theory because it can't be proven.
Amen.
But we do the same thing in our lives. We allow mindsets to enter because we don't have the word of truth there, screening it out, saying, no, I'm not going to agree with that. There are many people who get offended or hurt by another. In the church, out of the church, within families and marriages, children, parents, etc. When offense comes in and anger and unforgiveness, if the Word of God is not right there, and if the person is not saying, I'm committed to living out what the Word says, you see, that's a stronghold in itself, a good one. What we want is fortresses of the Word of God, fortresses of truth, strongholds of truth inside of us, so that whenever the enemy comes toward us and wants to come in, we recognize and say, no, the Bible tells me not to take up offense. No, the truth says that I am not to walk in anger, hate, unforgiveness. No, the truth says I'm not to walk in a divisive spirit, that I'm not to bring about all kinds of divisions and strife in my family, in my home, and in the church, in my community. No, the scripture says I'm to walk in unity and walk in love. That's what John, the gospel, says. But guys, if we don't know the truth, that truth that sets us free, then whenever somebody does us wrong, we immediately respond with the flesh because that's all we've got left. Our natural reaction is going to be from this fleshly nature. And all of us can fall short of it. On many occasions, I've told my testimony of my struggle. You know, when I'm out in traffic on certain days. And by the way, God is getting me better. So don't think I just keep repeating and I'm not moving. I am getting better, praise God. I'm not going to say that I'm all done, but I'm much better. God is taking me somewhere. But ye, in the flesh, when people do things to you, it's very easy to just react with offense or anger, retaliation, bitterness. You see, I'm going to tell you something. I live in a body of flesh too. But the way that this works, the way this weapon works that demolishes or brings about the destruction of these fortresses and strongholds, is that though I may react in the moment, though I may lay my hand on the horn, I may get aggravated, I may call someone an idiot, the Word of God is inside of me. And as I'm driving away, I have the Spirit inside of me taking the Word and bringing conviction and calling me to repentance.
Yeah.
Calling me to ask God for forgiveness. Calling me to renounce and reject my sin and to let go of my moment of anger. But if I have no truth, if I have no word, then I hold on to the anger and it just keeps festering. In marriages, things happen. People get cross with each other. It happens. You haven't been married very long if you haven't had an argument in your marriage. It happens. But your marriage will come to utter destruction if you don't learn how to forgive one another from the heart, as the scripture tells us.
Amen.
God's words, you see, that's truth. That's truth that we need desperately. So that whenever we do have problems within our homes, God's word comes in and says, listen to me. What I say trumps your feelings, trumps your emotions, trumps whatever the circumstance is. If I say forgive, you forgive.
Amen.
You see, that's what we need. Because if it's up to me and my feelings, I may never forgive. Because how many of us feel like forgiving? You see, I only forgive because God tells me to forgive. But when I do it, I experience a freedom and a joy and a love and a reconciliation with the ones who have offended me or whom I've offended.
Amen.
Guys, we need that. God wants us to have love and unity in our households, in our church, in our community. He wants us not to have hardened hearts and bitterness inside of us. But if you're living only in your flesh, then you're almost guaranteed to walk in anger and bitterness at seasons of your life. And sadly, many who name Christ live their lives just destroying relationships because of strongholds like this, fortresses inside of them, fortresses that could be demolished if they would only take captive the thought, the agreement with a lie. You see, a stronghold or a fortress, as the NASB calls it, all it is a mindset. It's an agreement. If I say I will not forgive, that's an agreement with a lie instead of agreeing with truth that I will forgive. You see, you have to make the decision. Will you forgive or will you not forgive? Will you let it go and obey God, or will you not let it go, hang on to it, which is against God? It's up to you. God won't force you. The pastor certainly can't. But you'll reap whatever you sow. If you hold on to a hardened, bitter heart, unforgiveness, it will destroy your life. It will destroy relationships. And I'm telling you something. I've been married for more than 30 years now. We wouldn't have made it past year one if we didn't learn to forgive and obey God on this one. We wouldn't have made it past year five, or 10, or 15, or anywhere near 30 years if we had not decided that this word and what God says to us trumps how we feel. It trumps it. It has more authority. And no matter if I'm right or she's right or whatever, we have to both decide we're going to let it go and we're going to love each other. We're going to forgive each other. Guys, the joy of a long marriage only comes because you forgive. The joy of a family that sticks together only comes because of forgiveness. The joy of staying in a church body for years and years and years and not running off and hopping to another church comes because you forgive. Listen, you're a family. You're a body of believers. You're going to hurt and offend each other sometimes. Sometimes the way some of you live are going to repulse the way somebody else thinks. And you're going to have to learn to pray for one another and love one another and forgive one another. Work through differences instead of just holding up anger and throwing stones and carrying bitterness inside of you. It destroys the body. Doesn't God's word tell us in the Gospel of John, and they will know that you are my disciples by how you love one another. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. Guys, God wants His Word inside of us. He wants us not just knowing the stories. If you've been brought up in church, you know many of these stories, but that's not what we're talking about. If you hadn't eaten for a month, and all we've been giving you is water and bread, I could ask you, but do you know what a good cheeseburger tastes like? And you'd say, oh yeah. You know what a nice big pepperoni pizza tastes like? Oh yeah. How about a steak? Oh yeah, I can remember that. My mouth's watering, shut up. See, I can ask you, do you remember? But just because you have had it and you remember what it tastes like, you remember the smell, you remember the flavor, it doesn't bring you any nutrients because you have a memory of it. What brings you nutrients is putting it in your mouth daily. The Word of God is no different. You can have a memory. You can say, I've read the Bible 5 times. All the way through. I know all the stories. Pastor, you can start anything. I'll finish it for you. That means nothing to me. So you have knowledge. Knowledge means very little if you are not an obeyer of the word. The word is like bread. You have to take it in daily.
Amen.
You have to read it. You need to meditate on it. You need to let it have a place in you. A place in you. A seat of authority in you. This is not just some religious book. These are the words of the creator of the universe. They are powerful. This is the God who spoke everything into existence. His words create when he speaks.
Amen.
And whenever he has written this word out, and we agree with it, and we welcome it in, we say, that's true, I agree with it. That's true, I'm going to obey it. That's when that word begins to bear fruit in your life. Begins just to change you. Begins to make things better in your life. If any of you have ever walked in bitterness, you know how rough it can be. If any of you have ever had the chains of unforgiveness in you and on you for a long time, you know the heaviness and the weight. And you know that though you're angry with this one person, that anger is like a disease and it spreads. And before long, you're a jerk to a lot of other people because you're just an angry person. Other people didn't even do what the one person did years ago. But because of that stronghold, anger has spread like a disease in you. And now everybody gets the brunt of your anger, your edginess. You're a cranky old person. And you might be 25. It's because you're letting that thing build inside you. Listen, I've spent a lot of time on unforgiveness and things. I'm going to read one verse and then we're going to move subjects from anger. But Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 says, therefore, laying aside falsehood, this is Ephesians 4, 25, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. Again, some translations will say a foothold instead of an opportunity. You're giving him an opportunity in your life. You're giving him an open door, an open window to come in and grab some territory, get a toehold, a foothold inside of you. Begin to build that anger into something bigger like a fortress or a stronghold. God doesn't want us to let the sun go down on our anger. That's how important this is to him, that we would forgive quickly, even if you don't feel like it. Again, how many of you feel like giving to the poor all the time? Unless Christ Jesus is inside of you, wanting you and moving you and prompting you to help someone, most of us want all of our money for ourselves. It takes the Lord to give us a generous heart. It takes the Lord to make us want to get out and serve someone. The flesh wants to be served. It takes the Lord in us to have a humble spirit that is willing to work in the backgrounds. The flesh wants to be announcing what all it does. Guys, when we talk about these strongholds like this, they come in all shapes and sizes, all different names. If we repeatedly lust, and we say, well, it's just my thoughts. Nobody knows what I do. The old saying I remember hearing as a kid, you know, around schools and in life, at work, and it's not any big deal as long as you don't touch. Guys, those are lies.
Amen.
Those are lies when people say those things. You can look, but don't touch. That's the world. That's not the Word of God. You're letting things into your life when you look, but don't touch. Yeah, of course, touching is worse. But looking doesn't make you innocent. Looking allows sin, spirit of adultery into you. We want the Word of God to be in us that brings about truth encounters, that points out a lie that we've agreed with, something that maybe you were told as a kid and you agreed with it. Guys, this is not just about like lust or anger or lying, that it's okay to lie. There's so many things that get justified in the world today. But it's the truth of God's word that comes in and says, no, I'm not going to lie. I'm going to confess the truth. I'm not going to cheat. Even if I have to make a D plus, I'm going to do what's right. If you don't have God's truth inside of you, you're not committed to living out that truth. And it's amazing the kind of stuff you'll begin to let slide, and then all of a sudden there's no integrity found in you. Because you're not an honest person. You're a liar, you're a cheater, you're a thief, you're an adulterer. All the things you live and do, they're not loving. Your life becomes a very sad life when you spend everything you make on you to try to make you happy. Because there's never enough money to make you happy enough. There's an emptiness inside. You see, what God's word is trying to help us understand is that if we can put away materialism and put away thinking this world can make me somebody, make me happy, and we start looking to God, we start agreeing with what He says, I promise you there's a joy, there's a peace, there's a happiness that comes from walking with God, really walking in relationship with Him, really being a doer of His Word. You'll find it. If you'll just say, God, would you show me, would you speak to me from your Word? I want to begin to obey you. Amen. Just tell Him that's a simple prayer. This may sound like a really big message, hard for you to grab a hold of. Where do I start at? You're mentioning so many things. I will tell you this. You say a prayer and say, God, I'm going to read your Bible. And I ask you to teach me and speak to my heart. Show me the places you want me to begin to obey you. Just one step at a time. You don't have to fix everything in one day. One step at a time. Let the Spirit of God begin to speak to you. And He's looking. Are you really going to obey you? Obey me if I point it out to you. Let me take you to a whole other way of looking at the whole other facet of this sermon. Some of you, it's not the sin that you've agreed with. It's not that you've agreed that you can't or you won't forgive or that it's okay to lust or it's okay to steal or cheat or whatever. Some of you, it's not that. You agreed with something that someone spoke over you that was a lie, and you have been a victim to that for a very long time. Some of you were called stupid, idiots. You don't know anything. You can't accomplish anything. You'll never be anything. Some of you were told that by your parents, a grandparent, a teacher, kids at school. And when they said it, you didn't have the helmet on. You didn't have a word in your heart. Maybe you were too young. You just didn't know this quite yet. So you agreed with what was spoken over you. And it came in and it lighted like a curse. And it's defined who you are. Let me tell you something today. And I pray to God that He opens your ears to hear this. Nobody gets to define who you are but the God who created you.
Amen.
Nobody. So if the Holy Spirit begins to bring back a memory from the third grade, the Holy Spirit begins to bring back times when you were a young child or a teenager, somebody declared something to you over an old boyfriend, an old girlfriend said something to you, spoke something to you. If it was your own parents who said something, listen, even if it's your parents or your grandparents, if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, then a flawed human being declared something over you, and you need to check it by the Word of God.
Yeah.
Don't confess or agree with what a human says about you. Confess and agree with what God says about you. Because He wants you to be free. He wants you to be free. The beautiful thing about the Most High God is you can have committed all kinds of sins, but when you confess your sins to Him, He says He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. Now there's a truth that you want to hold on to and you want to agree with. But the only way you can agree with that is if you first agree with God's word that your sins are forgiven. Because the devil is the accuser of the brethren. And when he lies, he speaks his native language. And so he's coming at you constantly reminding you of all the stuff you've done in the past. You see, people out there in the world are not the only ones who accuse you and who declare things over you, wanting you to agree with them. The devil started it all. He wants you to agree with the whispers in your mind, in your head, the stuff that people have said about you. He wants you to agree with that, because that'll bind you up. That'll allow a fortress or a stronghold inside of you, a mindset with the enemy, a mindset in agreement with a lie. We're to take captive every thought. We're to make it obedient to Christ.
Yeah.
We're to pull down strongholds and stop allowing them, false things, to dictate who we are. Be careful that you don't speak a lie about another human being, that you don't speak something against another person that is not lining up with the Word of God. Right now, there are people in my life who are doing harm to my family. But I am praying and praying that God will let me pray right things over those folks. Because otherwise, I'll begin to declare wrong things over those folks. And there is no rightness in that. There's no justification for that. It is never right for me to begin to curse another man. God tells me I'm not to curse, but I'm to bless. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay.
Amen.
The one who gets to do all of that is Him, not me. And I've had to come to a realization, no one can take care of somebody better than God.
Amen.
Guys, God wants us all to walk in His freedom. But it's up to you to renounce and pull down lies you've agreed with about yourself, lies you were told, lies you've spoken, even sin that has wormed its way into your life. If you want freedom, if you want a lightened load on your heart and your mind, then start confessing those sins to God. Asking for His forgiveness. Believe Him. Agree with Him. Thank Him that you are forgiven. Thank Him for His great love for you. Thank Him that you are a child of the Most High God, that you are the righteousness of God, that you have the mind of Christ, that you have been born again, adopted, an heir, a co-heir with Christ. Start agreeing with what He says in His Word and stop agreeing with all the stuff that people have said about you or you've said about yourself. This is not a self-help positive confession sermon. It's a biblical sermon.
Amen.
It has to do with strongholds and how they are established in your life. And those strongholds are wreaking havoc in people's lives. When you don't keep the Word in you, you see, some of this is, I'm using and showing you how the Word can be the antibiotic ointment right now that you can apply to past curses you've agreed with. But you also need to understand, this is also, when applied to your life, it's the thing that keeps it ever from being able to light or come into you. If you know the truth, then you don't agree with somebody when they begin to lead you away from truth. When somebody begins to invite you to go a direction away from God, you need to know the Word of God so well and be in relationship with God. Knowledge alone will not save you. Knowledge of verses, knowledge of right and wrong will not save you. It's relationship that saves you. It's relationship with Christ that saves you. I promise you that. Many, many, many knowledgeable people have been pulled away from God. But if you're walking with Him in sweet fellowship, then you'll say, I will not choose any person over the one whom I've given my life to. If you're a young person, you should surrender your life to Christ before any other human being. If you're an old person, you should do that. If you're seeking marriage, nobody should be equal with Jesus Christ. He is above every person in your life. You obey Him above all. And you tell everybody to hit the road who doesn't line up with him. He is the litmus test. What his words are is the litmus test of a righteous person. If they go against that word, then you tell them to hit the road. If you have a counselor in your life, if you have someone who speaks into your life all the time, giving you advice about life and marriage and all those things, and they're telling you things that go against the word of God, tell them to hit the road. Don't let people speak lies and deception into your life. Read God's word. Meditate on it. And let his truth begin to establish strongholds of truth in you. It'll change your life.
Amen.
Besides the faith that it'll bring about, the joy, the peace, all of that comes when we begin to live in truth and not in lies. Would you stand with me this morning? Our time of invitation is beginning right now. Praise team is coming. I'm going to invite those who are going to be here at the altar to pray with you to go ahead and make their way forward. Even before they begin to sing our song of response, I give you the opportunity to go ahead and make your way forward. This altar is open. If you want to, right where you are, begin to call out to God and ask him for his strength, his forgiveness. If you want to throw down some things that you've agreed with, I need to forgive somebody, then you just begin to talk to God about it right here, right now. Don't walk out without responding to him. If he's speaking to you, it's rude to ignore him. Don't be rude to God this morning. Respond to him.
Yeah.
If he's pointing out something, say, yes, sir. Here I am. Let's let God have his way in our life as they lead us in this song of response. Either worship the Lord or worship him in your response.
The more I seek you,
I'm melting.
Church, thank you for coming and worshiping with us this morning. Your worship will continue as you apply what we're talking about this morning. Amen. Live this out in your life. I promise you, this is a sermon that you never, ever don't have to be applying to your life, because every one of us almost weekly need to be making sure we do this. This is not a one-time, oh yeah, he preached that a few years ago and already did it. Listen, you're constantly being barraged with thoughts and junk to agree with. Constantly, some spirit, some voice, a sinful person around you is offending you. It's pretty constant. We have to agree with God's word to keep forgiving you. It's better to overlook an offense, the scripture says. It's good to keep the truth coming in. It guides us. It keeps us from being ensnared by the enemy. I hope you'll walk out God's word. You'll know his joy and his peace. Brother John, would you close us in prayer this morning?
Yes, sir. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this day and every day, because you know us intimately. And Lord, I pray that